So that's my sermon for the day. Let's pray. Anybody think it's a little messed up? Just a little messed up, has some elements there that are tough to embrace, a little tough to get our minds around. First twins. I thought that was interesting. That just jumped at me, the very first thing. Bible's first set of twins here, okay? My dad used to tell a story about twins in Monroe City. Monroe City is about 20 miles outside of Vincennes, southern part of the state. That's where my family's from. He used to tell a story about twins, and they weren't the sharpest knives in the drawer, if you know what I'm saying. How many guys, anybody here grow up in a small town? We have any small town, few small town people, which basically means this. Everybody kind of knows everybody else's business, don't they? There ain't a whole lot that happens without other people knowing. These twins weren't maybe the brightest, and one of them one day was working on a car and got the finger, edge of their finger caught between a pulley and the fan belt and cut the end of their finger off. I don't know if you know where the story's going or not, but my dad always said this was the truth. I used to give him a hard time and say, come on, Dad, that's got to be, it can't be right. He goes, no, that is, God is my witness, that was the truth. He said his twin brother was showing someone how his brother got injured and did the very same thing to the very same finger. Not exactly the smartest of the twins in town. Here's the crazy thing. My dad was a twin. My dad had a twin sister, Gloria. And there was always a special bond. He had three sisters and two brothers. So it was a big family. But he was always closest to his twin sister, Gloria. And the Bible tells us about some twins here. Not necessarily close, actually very different from each other. And the story goes on basically to say this. Esau is a very short-sighted, temporal person. To the point where he does not value his birthright. You realize what he was going to inherit? A double portion, a double blessing. He's the firstborn. How many firstborns do we have in the room? I'm a firstborn. My mom's not here today, so I'm not sure where she's at. But, you know, firstborn, I'm expecting double portion. That's all I'm saying, okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm just going biblical here. I'm just going scriptural, okay? Esau has this right. And he lets himself get too hungry. You guys remember the halt? Do you remember the halt illustration? Who can give me, well, you know what H is? Hungry. What's A? Angry. Very nice. What's L? Lonely. Anna is going to the front of the class today, all right? Can you do T? Tired. Very good. Maybe you've been hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, okay? Stop. Stop. Halt. Dead in your tracks, right there. Stop. Wait. Don't make that decision. Think. Consider. Are you too hungry right now to make a good decision? Esau was. Are you too angry? Maybe it's all about what's yours, and you've been slighted, and so it really doesn't. Are you too angry? Are you too lonely? Maybe you're not in fellowship with others, in communion with others. Maybe you're not family with others. Can I just preach just for a second here, okay? And just encourage you for a second. One of the things that's such a blessing about the body of Christ is you need to have brothers and sisters that are close enough to you. And this is kind of sounds strange to put it in this way. But if no one in your life can look at you and say, I think you're pulling away. I think you're too independent. I think you're too isolated. If you don't have anybody who can look at you in love and be able to say, you need to be connected. Well, I'm just not that kind of person. Don't hand me that. Don't give me that. That doesn't play. That answer doesn't work. I'm not that kind of person. You are the kind of person that needs people in your life because no man is an island. Don't let yourself get too lonely. And the last one's don't let yourself get too tired. Don't let yourself become too weak. You got Esau showing up, who has the double blessing, if you will, of being a firstborn of inheritance that is his. And he sells it for a thing of lentil soup. I had lentil soup when I was in the Holy Land. We had it a couple times, I think. It's not my favorite. It's okay. It's actually kind of a pathetic thing for soup, if you ask me, okay? There ain't even a whole lot of beef or a whole lot of substance or a whole lot of chunk to it. It's just kind of there. And he is so vulnerable. And listen, can I tell you this? It's not Jacob's fault. See, the first thing we want to do as Americans, or as I like to call ourselves, victims, okay? Things we want to do as victims is we want to say this. Well, if he had just had a better brother, if he just had more supportive family, if it had just been better, well, then he wouldn't have got into that kind of trouble. Quit pointing at everybody else. I can't tell you exactly why this story works out the way that it does. The fact that an old man who's blind, laying on his deathbed, has his wife deceive him doesn't sound very functional to me. It doesn't sound right. It's weird. We got to laughing back at the sound table today talking about this story. Jacob does end up running for his life. Later on, he wants to marry this girl named Rachel. He works for 7 years to earn the trust of Rachel's father, only to get duped and get stuck with Leah. So he works another 7 years to get that wife. He ends up with two wives, which our theory is simply this: what goes around comes around. I'm not a karma person. Don't believe in that. But I do believe God was grinning a little bit when he said, and I'll just give you two wives right there. Esau lets himself get so hungry, so weak, so tired, that he gives away what is rightfully his. I have some questions for us today. We're going to stop on time today because something we've noticed lately is this. When we stop the sermon on time and we go to discussion groups on time, you guys discuss them. And all I can say for that is praise God for that, because that is awesome. Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit takes a word, plants it in your heart, in your mind. And he wants to use that word. He wants to use that term. He wants to use that phrase. And he uses it in a way in your life that he does not use it in someone else. And we benefit by finding out how that spoke to you. When we end on time, you guys discuss. And as I'm studying right now and discovering right now, millennials, those youngins, that next generation of church, they love discussion. They want a place at the table. They want to ask a question. They want to contribute a comment. They want to hear. They don't want to be just talked at. They want to hear, to discuss. So we will end on time today. But I ask a couple of questions. Here's the discussion questions for today before we continue with the sermon. Does God honor promises today in spite of our actions? This is an awesome question. Can I tell you the motivation real quickly behind this? Oh, I can't wait to get to discussion groups today. You got to be there today. That's all I'm saying. Does God honor promises in spite of our actions? Here's another way of thinking about that. Do you have to act right in order for God to be kind to you? Which kind of means that you're earning it, doesn't it? Anybody here earning the favor of God? Man, if I could just be better. If I just wouldn't do that. Or here's my favorite. I've had people look at me and go, I started coming to church and everything worked out. And I'm thinking, Lord, help us when it doesn't. Because I guess you won't be around. Does God honor his promises in spite of our actions? It's a great question. There's a follow-up question to that. Have you ever blessed someone in spite of their actions? Are you a parent? Have you been one for more than 15 minutes? That's a great way of putting it. Have you ever blessed someone in spite of their actions? This was a big point for me this week because I thought, okay, well, God, is that my relationship with you? I learn your word. I study your word. I think about it. I listen to it and stuff in order to find the secret key, in order to please you, in order to get stuff out of you. Lord, help me if that's the relationship I have with my children. That they obey me. Because they want something out of me. A couple more questions. What's your process or methodology for focusing your eyes on eternal things versus temporal things? What do you do in order to keep an eternal perspective in your life? What do you do to avoid focusing on the moment, being consumed by the circumstance? What's the big deal about that question? Because there are people that are very new in walking with the Lord. And when they are very new, they think that things are going to work out just perfect. And when they don't, they kind of go, well, does God love me or not? And those of us who have served him for a while, who have worked through those circumstances, who have seen the faithfulness of God, need to be able to share what it means to have a focus on those things which are eternal and not just temporal. And that's the last question. Define eternal things. When you say, yes, I'm focused on eternal things, help me understand that. What's that mean? What's eternal things? What's eternal and not temporal? What are you focused on? What's that mean? Are those difficult questions? I hope so. I hope so. I hope you scratch your head a little bit. That's part of discussion group, is us scratching our heads a little bit going, I'm not so sure that I've ever defined what's eternal in my life versus temporal. Maybe I'd be a little bit better off if I did. Maybe I wouldn't be as frustrated with the temporal as I was the eternal. Okay, pot calling the kettle black now, okay? Yesterday we drive up to Indiana Wesleyan, Marion, Indiana. We drive a good hour. We drive the Jeep up there. We're going to exchange vehicles with my daughter, Rachel. She has the Toyota at the time. We're going to go to a basketball game with her. It's a family time. It was wonderful, okay? Everything was going to be great. I get out of the Jeep, and the taillights won't go off. I hit the button. I hit the switch. I hit the brake. I hit the steering column. I pound the windshield. I slam the door. I look underneath the dash. Brake lights will not go off. They just stay on. Marshall walks away. My daughter's over here. Sam's offering me suggestions of Mr. Obvious. And I get that, okay? And I'm just like, for about 3 minutes there, I lost my mind. I looked around and I saw no one else around. I did do that. I had enough brain power going on that I looked around to kind of go, there's no one around. Okay, good. Okay, I can lose my mind right now. Why will these stupid lights not go on? And I became my father. If it's not one thing, it's a thousand. And then favorite phrase, piece of junk. I was just ticked. So we spent like 15 minutes in Marion, Indiana, and got in the vehicle and drove home. Brought the other vehicle home. I'd call Marshall every once in a while, following behind me. Are the brake lights off? Nope. All the way home. Got home, watched a YouTube, wedged myself underneath the dash, found a button, adjusted the button, brake lights went off. I said, thank you, Lord. Went in and hopped on the guilt bus and took a trip. Temporal things, they'll get you. I don't want to discount temporal things. Temporal things will get you. Because they're the things that are right here in your face. But that was Esau's problem. Temporal things. He saw the porridge, he saw the soup, saw the lentil soup, and that was enough. And then, at the coercion of his mother, he deceives his father into a blessing. Here's the last point I want you to consider today. Because there's times where I read scripture and I kind of go, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? This makes no sense. Culturally, I don't get this. What is happening here? Okay, how in the world, why is it fair, God, that Jacob is his mother's favorite? And Esau is his dad's. We're not supposed to have favorites. Now, Sam is my favorite. But we're not supposed to have favorites. Culturally, listen, we get into a little bit of a quandary when we want to take our culture and our values and our lives and translate them to an Old Testament story. Different culture, different time, different actions, different values. I'll share a story with you. I asked Marshall if I could share this, and she said, reluctantly said yes. Okay. I think she probably knew I was going to share it anyway. Okay, but so 2 weeks ago, right, we're church in the Nativity. Church in the Nativity. Where Jesus was born, there's the manger, you know, we got to see it, there it was. But going into this, and of course, wherever there's a sacred spot, someone did exactly what the disciples do. Well, Lord, let us build three shrines right here on the mountain. It'll be awesome, God, that's what we should do. Of course, they build a church over it. Because everyone knows there's something special about the piece of ground in which Jesus was born. That was all what Jesus was about, was the piece of ground, right? So they build a church over it. We wait for a good hour, and we were told that the line was actually down. We were there off season, so we should be blessed by that. And I'm still like, okay, well, we made lots of conversation during that time. And basically, they built a church over top of this cave. So you have to go down this very few steps and a very narrow opening through a shorter than 6'2" door, and you go down into this cave, and that's where Jesus was born. So we're all waiting patiently in line. It's all good. Behind us, there's an Asian group of people, okay? And they've been behind us for an hour, right? So we get up to this opening, and the opening is surrounded by a larger area, kind of a standing area and stuff before you go down these few steps, and these people are behind us. But all of a sudden, this group, for no reason, we're standing here, this group's behind us, they just, all this whole group just goes, They walk over here, and they walk up like this. And now they're even with us. Time out. I'm looking, going, wait a second. For the last hour, you were behind us. We were all in order. We have a system here. There is a process. I'm in front. You're behind. Behind is behind. Behind is not next to. Behind is certainly not in front of. But all of a sudden, you're here. Now, I don't know about you gentlemen, guys, but here's how I'm wired. I'm wired to be offended and do nothing. Anybody else like that? I can be offended and just stand there and just my offense and just do nothing. My wife, on the other hand, worked in customer service for 15 years and has a different standard, if you will, and I would say confidence, and I would say loving demeanor. I put that in there. Okay, in which she just simply points out injustices or things that are not done to a certain kind of quality, and that's part of her position in life. Anyone else relate to that? So Marshall's wearing this Mickey Mouse hat. And these people kind of come up the side, okay? Like they're going to almost go in front of us. And I see Marshall kind of go, put her hand out like this. And now she's kind of extending herself a little bit, and she's like, whoa! And then gives him one of these, which is the universal sign for, you know, we don't speak their language, okay? They don't speak ours, but they understood this. No, 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 no! Just back up a little bit. We've been waiting this whole hour. Just no, 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 you know. And so so for the rest of the time, it was just a hair awkward, okay? It did work. Did it work? Yes, it worked, okay? She can get things done, I'm telling you right now. Multicultural things. I've got a master's in intercultural studies. Whatever. She can work a system, all right? So you guys just wait. So as we got to the steps, every time we'd go down a step, this group would be like, go ahead. You know, go ahead. No, no. And Marshall was grinning and looking at them. And now it's like, thank you. You understand the system. We're all communicating. And no, you go ahead. You go ahead. So, and it all worked out just fine. I told her, I said, somewhere in an Asian country right now, there is some little lady sharing with her family about the experience. And it's going to be, Mickey Mouse. The Mickey Mouse lady laid it down and said, this is the way we're going to work. Different culture. Different understanding of, listen, they didn't do that to take advantage of us. Different culture. They have a different understanding of space. These are the same people that allow people to push them into a subway and into a train and barely close the doors when they're like this close to somebody. We don't work that way. Different culture. What's the point? Different culture in this story. So we have to take that culture for what it's worth, and we have to give them some grace, if you will, and learn from the story. Last point I want to share with you in 2.5 minutes. Here's one of the amazing things about this story. God honors his promise. God honors the system that's in place. Esau is robbed, he's gypped of his blessing in that moment. His father is deceived and the blessing goes to Jacob. Esau's wronged in that. He kind of wants to kill his brother because of it, okay? But here's the thing. God honors the promise. God honors the blessing. Are you trying to say that we should incorporate deceit? You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to take God at his promise. You need to know what God has promised you. And there's times where you're going to get your eyes on the soup. And you need to back up and remember the promise. Lord Jesus, I thank you that even though culturally, Father, I don't really relate to this. Father, there's things I struggle with in this story. Father, you honor your promises. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of the immediate, you call us to obedience, Lord Jesus. You call us to follow after you. You call us to serve you. And sometimes that's going to feel really good, and sometimes it's not. You are Lord in either case. We love you today, Jesus. We love you. Speak to us now through your people, by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What time is our chili cook-off tonight? 6 p.m. We're going to have a good time. We always have a good time. There's some stuff I want to share with you about 2018, about colleges that I'm visiting in just the next few weeks, about Protege, about HAT, about how we did last year and what our challenges look like this year. And I got to find a breakfast truck. There's a lot of things to talk about. I want you to be here. Be here with bells on. We will have a great time together and make sure you're good and hungry. Amen. Discussion group leaders. There are questions right here on the front row. God bless you. You are dismissed.